to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Father's supply. Amen. Praise be to God. We're thankful to be here tonight. Good to see each one of you. And I have just a couple things that I want to mention before we pray and we begin. I have several prayer requests here that I'd like for you to remember that we might take before the Lord. And I've had so many brothers that have been reaching out in need. And some are sick, some of family members, different problems. But one of them is Brother Karnakal in India. I think I might have mentioned him the other day. He's has been doing the translation for me for several years now. And his mother just had a stroke, and the Lord come on the scene for her and help. But they were left with a very large hospital bill, and so they're in a problem. Now, there's another brother that I'm trying to witness to. He doesn't know the message, but he came on today on the service of Brother Joshua this morning. His wife is sick. His house has fell down, and he needs money. He needs help, and so I'd like for you to pray for him. And this brother in Ghana, Brother. He's called Apostle Branham. Brother Gumba knows him. And he was sick recently, and now I think he owes some money. He asked for some money for the medication that he had got. There's a brother in Uganda. I met him on my first trip, on my first two trips to Uganda before I went to Kenya. I went to Uganda a couple times, and this was one of the pastors who we visited. And he's asking for someone to come and to minister. He invited us to come. And so I told him I didn't know if I would be able to come this year, but I told him about Brother Gumba and that I would give him his information, and they could talk. And if he feels led to go, maybe he could go. Then today, Brother Joshua Kioko, they're having a convention there August 21st to the 24th. He asked for prayer for that. I didn't realize till today, but his father is the one who is hosting it. And I can't pronounce the name of it. Mkambana? U-K-A-M? Kambani. Kambani. Okay, yeah. So they said that the transportation's 2,000 round trip, so I'm suggesting that's far. Is that Western? East, Eastern, toward Meru. Okay. So they're asking for prayer. So a lot of the people want to go can't afford that. And so they're asking. Now, also, Brother Benjamin was on today with us on the meetings in the morning. And he's been really, I don't know what the word is, sick. His body had a reaction to some of his diabetes medicine, and it's caused a lot of problems, break out all over his body. Mm. And so it was really bad, and so he's recovering now. They took him off the medication, and so we want you to remember him as we pray. So let us bow our heads and our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come humbly before you tonight. Lord, knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, and our faith is in you. All revelation comes from you. And Lord, we know that you are the healer, Lord, and that you did it 2,000 years ago. It's a finished work. It's just, Lord, you bring in that thing to manifestation now in our lives through the trials and troubles, the sickness, Lord, whatever. Lord, you know, you heard the many needs that are here and the requests that have gone forth. Lord, we just ask your mercy and grace upon each one. Lord, that you would supply the needs that they have. Lord, healing to their bodies and help them with the cost, Lord, of the things that they spent for their families, their loved ones. Lord, we commit it to you, everyone. We pray for little Gabe tonight, Lord, that you would touch him and help him, Father, give him relief and peace, Lord, in his spirit, in his flesh. And Lord, for each one that's here, that you would just minister to each one, Lord. Give us of your word. Give us revelation, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Those that are not able, Lord, just bless them, Lord, each one. As you know all things, Lord, we commit all to you now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated, and we just ask that you continue to remember those brothers, sisters there that are in need. And so now getting into the message tonight, I'd like to pick back up in Hebrews 13. I'm going to read three verses of scripture here, and that's verse 1 through 3. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that were in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. And now, I told you Sunday that I was wanting to go through the chapter here, because there were some things I wanted to get there on. He's talking about going beyond the camp, some of those things. And so, but there were so many good points there that I just wanted to at least read it and maybe comment it and comment on them. And so one of them was verse 2 there, where he's talking about some have entertained strangers unawares. And so it was just kind of a by the way, I just wanted to mention it. And then so we did on Sunday. And then I couldn't find the key the other day to find those quotes. And so when I found the key, then I ran across some quotes, and it just, I couldn't get away from it then. I wanted to read a few quotes on that thought. And so I can remember when I first come in the message, one of the things that this, in the early days, the way this was preached and the way that I understood it was that these angels were heavenly angels that came down and brought a message to somebody, maybe like Mary or like different ones that had visitations in the Bible, from, you know, being an angel of the Lord. And so then Paul, when he talked about, that's why we read in 1 Corinthians 11, he talked about it. He said that a woman shouldn't cut her hair because of the angels. And so the prophet told us that was the messengers, that was the angels, that was the ministers, the ones ministering the word. And so then I kept reading that, and then so it's kind of it's one of those things in your Christian walk that you kind of over the years you see something different, and or it grows, as Brother Bram said, he added to it. And so I just he added something to it for me, and so I just wanted to read it and share it with you. I'm going to start in a message called From That Time On. And I'm reading a little bit extra in this message just to kind of fill in, because the two places I want to read, they're kind of short. So I'm going to start in paragraph 36 here. And he said, Peter the fisherman would have likewise, and how about blind Bartimaeus? And he's talking about from that time, each one of these, that from the time they met Christ, from that time on, something changed in their life. He said, you can't meet Christ without there being a change. And he said, how about blind Bartimaeus? See, that laid at the gate, as we talked of last night. The blind man can say, I was blind until I come in contact with God. And from that time, I could see. Now, you know, that's a great thing in the natural. But there's a greater thing in the spiritual. And he talks about that too. He said, oh yes, if you are spiritually blind, come in contact with the Father, and from that time you can see. Everything that comes in contact with God is changed. It's just changed. It won't be the same. And Brother Branham said, he said that about every time that you come here. He said every time you walk in the door, you don't leave the same person. You either are closer to God or you've gone further away from God. One or the other. Because every time you come, you're hearing the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And when you hear that, you are either bringing that into yourself, mm-hmm. or you're saying, nah, I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. You push that one away. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. That's what's happening in churches across the world. They're either accepting it or they're rejecting it. Mm-hmm. And so you know what's going on inside here. You know what's happening every time you come. You know if there's something that's bothering you, something that's hindering you, something about the preacher you don't like, or something that he's saying that you don't care for. Yes, you know that. And so if it's the Word of God, then it matters.
Yes, sir.
So if it's just a man coming with his ideas, then there's other things there that you got to deal with. But if it's the Word of God, then it's a very serious thing. So the leper one time come in contact with God, and he was changed from a leper to a well man. And there was an immoral woman one time that met Jesus at the well. And she was full of sin, her heart was heavy, her burdens were too much to bear. Society had kicked her out. She was living right there, still in the village, right? She still lived there. She had to she used the same water, the same well, same everything, but she had to come at a different time. Huh? So society. And so is it today our social standing sometime gets lessened because of the resentment for what we stand for what we believe.
Yes,
and it's just there. That's what's hard on the children. That's what's hard on the children is the social standing. And then it doesn't help any that they have all of the social media now on the internet and all of that. Society had kicked her out, and she stood there and seen just an ordinary Jew. A fellow kindly aged, looking aged for his age. And I think the scripture claims that he looked to be 50 when he was only 30. And he said, or she said, you're a man not over 50 years old. And said, you say that you've seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, he's talking to this woman. And you notice that this is the kind of people that accepted him.
Yes. Yes.
That he come to this kind of people.
Yes.
And a lot of times that's the kind of people we walk away from.
Right.
That's the kind of people we don't take time with. That's the kind of people that there's this wall, there's this thing that society even puts in our mind.
Right.
That this is a bad person. But we don't know what it is until they've heard the word. Until they've heard the word, we don't know what it is. We don't know what's down in there until they've heard it too.
Amen.
See, he was only 30 or 32 years old, and a young, beautiful woman come up one day to the well where he was sitting, tired. And he said to her, woman, bring me a drink. And she said, it's not customary for you to ask me such things as that. And, you know, I guess it's because of what Brother Gumba's been preaching on Nicolaitan, that this customary took me right there. It took me right there. Because that's exactly, where did the custom come from? Was this the Jewish custom? Was this the Samaritan custom? Or was this God's custom? Where did it come from? It came from some religious belief that we're a separated people and you don't talk to us and we don't talk to you.
Yes.
It's the same spirit.
Yeah.
That's the same spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not customary for you and I to be talking. Well, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Here's the God of the heavens and earth, and here is somebody that needs a savior.
Amen.
Here's somebody that needs to be delivered.
Right.
It's not customary for you to ask me such things as that. I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. Segregation, see? And he said, but if you knew who you were talking to. That's right. If she just only knew. And if we only knew. If we knew who was who, we wouldn't have any problem. If we walked into the grocery store and there was a star over someone's head that would accept the message, and you run over there and talk to them, and you went over there and you gave them the message and they accepted it and you left happy, they left happy, just be a breeze, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But that's not what he wants. He wants you to go talk to that devil.
Right.
He wants you to go talk to that person who's not going to accept it.
Amen.
He wants you to talk to all of them. That's part of his glory. That's part of his honor.
Amen.
And that's part of his way of building that character that's within you.
Yes.
He's building it.
Amen.
And so he's getting that customary thing out of you.
Right.
And Brother Gomez said he's getting that Nicolaitan thing out of you, that idea.
Right. Amen.
I tell you, it makes you think. It makes you think. And, when Brother Gomba started on, I thought, that's the church ages. We're past that. No, that's spirits, right? It's right there.
Amen.
I don't want to say it's right here. I hope it's that we don't have that on us.
Amen.
But think about it. Think about it.
Right.
How many things, when we use this kind of word, say we don't use the word Nicolaitan, we use this word customary. We use that word tradition. We use any other word you want to use.
Right.
Then we come in the same way. We come with the same problem. We're coming with the same attitude.
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's the same spirit. It's any way that Satan has to bind you or to lock you or to conquer you.
Right.
We are set free. The bride of Jesus Christ, I'm saying that 100%, that's thus saith the Lord. The bride has been set free.
Right.
And she's set free from every tradition, every custom, everything that Satan has put out there.
Yes, sir.
She is set free from it.
Yes.
If there ever was a people on the face of the earth, then I always admired in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, I always admired those disciples, and not just the disciples, but all of those believers. Because when they heard the truth, they started selling everything they had.
That's right.
They had one thing. They're going to spread this gospel. They're going to give their life for this. They're going to start traveling. They're going everywhere they go, telling the message, telling the people what God has done.
Amen.
Think about that.
Yes, sir.
They didn't care anymore about having the biggest farm and the best job and the most money and everything. They give it up.
Yes, sir.
They give up that idea that society had put in them is to have the most.
Yes.
Think, now we got it.
Right.
I know you have to have money. You have to support yourself. You have to eat. You have to live. You have to have all that stuff. I'm not taking away from it. And I'm not trying to make everybody a preacher. But I'm just saying. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What is it? Are we free? Are we really free inside? Are we free from everything? It's not customary for you to ask me such a thing as that. I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. Saying that my son, he, John, Stephen, you know him. Most of you know him, I think. And he is become very zealous in his church and in what he believes. And he is working night and day for the things of the Lord and trying to witness to people. And, we're believing he's going to come right back to where he started. Because this is where he started.
Yes, sir.
As a young boy, all of our children were raised in this message. And all of them went out there, and they're kind of together somewhat where they're at. But he really is trying to be led of the Spirit. And when he goes in somewhere, if he goes in the grocery store and he feels led, he sees somebody that he thinks needs help, he wants to help them. He might pay for somebody's groceries. He might do this. He might do that. One day he told me he was working on the job, and This guy come in, a carpenter come in, whatever, I don't know what his trade was. He might not have been a carpenter, but anyways, he came in on the job, and he was doing his work, and John was doing his work. Maybe some other subs were there. And so this, ever since the guy come in, he was rough. He had his earrings and his long hair and everything. John just had this a burden on his heart that he wanted to talk to him, and he wanted to witness to him. And so he did. He began to talk to the guy, and he told him, he said, listen, he said, ever since you arrived, he said, there's just been something on my heart for you, and I wanted to talk to you and tell you about Christ. And he said, this guy just exploded. Said he just got so mad and started screaming, said, don't you never talk to me about that. Don't you never mention that to me. And I'm thinking, where does that come from? Where does that thing, where does that spirit come from? And I thought, that's been a spirit in this nation for a long time. For a long time in America, you people are more vocal about politics than they are about religion.
That's right.
People, I know people that would tell you right now, my religion is none of your business.
Yep.
Huh? Yep. It's none of your business. That's a private matter. No, this goes to show that you haven't met Christ.
Amen.
It just goes to show that you don't know who He is.
Right.
Because when you meet Him, it's not private anymore.
Amen.
It changes you. From that time on, that's what He's talking about. From that time on, you will be a different person.
Yes, sir.
And it'll be taken out of your control. It'll be taken out of what you want to be and what you plan to do. All of your free will and your free moral agency and everything you got in your mind, you're going to do. That's what you were doing. But from that time that you met Him, that changed. Whatever your free will was then, whatever your free moral agency was then, from that time on, that's changed. See, where are we at? He said, but if you knew who you were talking to. All right. But if you knew who you were talking to, what was that woman doing? She was meeting God. She met a man, but it wasn't a man that she was meeting. See, it was God in the man. See, she was meeting God. Let that soak in. See, the scripture said, you've entertained angels. Now think now what he's saying. He's not saying, that's not word for word the scripture, is it? He's saying, you've entertained angels. The scripture said, some have. He's saying, you have.
Right.
And I want to capitalize on that.
Amen.
You have.
Yes.
You have entertained angels. Okay? Not knowing what you were doing, unaware of it. See? Same as Abraham entertained angels. And immediately after the angel left and had performed a miracle before him, he called the man God, Elohim, the Almighty God. See, sitting there eating steak sandwiches, drinking milk from the cow, eating cakes. He was Almighty God. That's right.
Amen.
And the woman, little did she know. Look what it done for Abraham then. It changed him and Sarah from an old man and an old woman of 100 years old back to a young man and a young woman. See, that brought forth Isaac. They met God. That's what done the difference.
Yes, sir.
And they were changed. From that moment on, from that time on, they were a changed people.
Amen.
See, and this immoral woman, she met Jesus and she spoke to him. Now watch how he made himself known. He said, woman, go get your husband and come here. She said, I do not have any husband. He said, you've said well, for you've had 5 husbands. And the one you're now living with is not your husband. See, you've said well. And from that time, she was changed.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it something that she had had 5? And he told her that she said well.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham married his sister and called her his sister. And he was called a liar. God has a reason and a purpose.
Amen.
In everything that He says and everything that He does.
Yes, sir.
And however God places it, that's the right way. That's the right way to place it.
Amen.
Oh, what a difference. that Jesus, when she met him, there looked like a man. When I can imagine seeing those big pretty eyes, tears coming out of them, she said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." See? "But who are you?" See? Jesus said, "I am he that speaks to you." And from that time, she had a message to tell the world. See? "Come see a man who told me all things that I've done. The Messiah is on the earth." She stirred a city. That's right. A few hours before that, the city would have laughed at her. She couldn't even come to the well with the rest of the women. What happened? What made the men listen to her?
Right.
That's a miracle.
Yes,
In that society and those customs that she's talking about,
yes.
Huh? She couldn't come preach to the village, to the elders. She couldn't come before them. She was an outcast. A few hours before that, the city would have laughed at her. She couldn't even come to the well with the rest of them. See? What made the men listen to her? See? If you've ever been in the Orients, they wouldn't listen to a woman like that. Some Oriental brother was trying to tell me, said, that woman wasn't a prostitute because the men wouldn't have listened to her. This is intellectual faith. This is intellectual idea. But His point was correct. But the thing was, is that he was wrong. Because the supernatural was on the scene. The anointing was on the scene.
Right.
So God put something there that made her believe it and made them believe it and made them listen to her. That was the power of God.
Amen.
But this carnal reasoning, the point was good. I remember one time I was witnessing to a guy when I worked over here in Denver at this mobile home plant, building mobile homes. And there was a few of us brothers over there. Brother Keenan was there, and there was a brother Peter and brother Jeff Holler. And so we were working there. So we were 200 men, mostly young, long hair, drinking, smoking, dope. It was just a wild bunch. And we were in the middle of all of that. And so one day I was witnessing to this guy, and I was telling him about those days we were baptizing, and I was telling him about water baptism, and he said, "You know, those things," he said, "you know, the scripture says that," I had quoted a scripture to him, and he says, "Yeah," and he said, "you know, here is," I forget who was it. Was it Philip and the eunuch in the desert? Mm-hmm. And he said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me?" And the guy told me, he said, "Well, you know, there was no water there." And I said, "Well, why do you say that?" I said, "It says there's water." He said, "They're in the desert. They're in the desert." He said, "You know, there's no water in the desert." And I thought, "But it says there's water." It says there's water. They're riding along and they come to water. And he said, "But you know, there's no desert." You see how easy it is for Satan to just take somebody right away from it. And this guy, although his point would be a true point if he was talking about anything else, but he's talking about the power of God. He's talking about the presence of God.
Amen.
See? And so this woman was a prostitute, and those men did listen to her.
That's right.
And not only did they listen, but then many of them converted. That whole village was on fire. That whole village had a visitation from God. And God stayed with them for 3 days. Can you imagine? Not just they passed by and said something or healed you and you went away just happy and knowing that you had met with God. But to think that he stayed with you for 3 days. That's pretty powerful. That's just amazing.
Amen.
It's just amazing to think. There was more than a prostitute woman there.
Right.
Yeah, there was some seed there. There was a little concentration of something. So, see, this guy, this Oriental brother is trying to tell me the woman wasn't a prostitute because men wouldn't have listened to her. And I said, "But brother, you failed to see that she had met Christ."
Yeah.
See, that's what made the difference.
Yes.
That's what makes the difference in you.
Right.
That's why people listen to you, is because when you begin talking about him, you know that it's real.
Amen.
They know that it's real in you. You, when you start talking to somebody, you know, you're just like somebody's trying to sell you something. You ever have that bad feeling like, I don't believe it. This is a lie. Yep. Well, people pick that up in all areas. In all areas. And they pick it up especially in revelation of the word. They pick it up in religion. And when you begin talking about this thing, they can tell whether you believe it or not.
Right.
They know whether this thing is real to you or it's not real to you.
Amen.
See, I don't care. You could have been a drunkard. You could have been a prostitute. You could have been anything that you wanted to be. And when I read that, I thought, that's exactly what we were doing. That's what I was doing. I'm telling you, as a young man in the 70s, when I was in school, the spirit that was on the young people, there's a different spirit today, but there's always a spirit through every generation or decade or whatever it is, there's always a spirit. And when I was in high school, the spirit was on the people that I was hanging out with, and I was going to have long hair, and my hair was longer than my wife's. My hair was down my back. And I smoked pot. I drank. I did drugs. I did all of that stuff. And my declaration was, I'm going to do this till I die. I'm going to be a 90-year-old man, and I'm still going to be smoking pot. And my hair's still going to be down my back. I don't know where that come from. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that gets on people. And that's what I was going to be. That's what I was going to do. That was what I was going to do. And that's why I told my wife when we met, I said, you know, I thought, this is a good girl. This girl's been in church all her life. Her mother's been in the same church all her life. Her grandmother's been in the same church. I said, we're just not meant for each other, because I'm just going to ruin your life. And I think you need to find somebody good. I even knew some good boy. I even suggested some good boys that she knew. And I thought, I'm too bad. And so, but that's where I was going. I was going to be rich for sure. I wanted money. I was going to be rich. I had pot growing in the woods, different places scattered out here, there, and yonder. And I was going to make my money like that, and selling it and all of that. And that was it. He said, see, you could be anything you wanted to be. Hi, why? Because whatever spirit's on you, that's the spirit. Whatever nature's in you, that's what you're going to do. And that's what I was doing. That was the spirit that was on me. That was the nature that was in me. And that's what I was going to do. And I was working toward it. I was working hard. And I was planning all over the county. It was a big county. And I was scattered out. I was doing good. I thought. I was on my way to the top. And that place only went down, you can be sure. I thought I was going somewhere, but it was death at the end, that's for sure. See, but listen. You could have been anything you wanted to be. But when you met Christ,
amen.
Brother, when I met Christ, I never went back.
Right.
I had plants growing. I had all over the place. I never went back to one of them. I left them.
Amen.
Some of them I had a partner with. Some of them was privately. And the ones that was with the partner, I said, it's yours. You can have it. I'm done. I'll never go back. I don't want anything. I don't want any compensation. I don't want anything. I was done. From that time.
Amen.
From that time, I was finished. When you meet Christ, the world's done.
Right.
Satan don't have a chance. You have a new nature. You have a new nature now, and what you wanted to be, whatever your free will was then, you have a new free will.
Yes, sir.
Because your nature's been changed.
Amen.
And this free will you have now has one desire, and it's drawing you straight to Christ.
Yes.
It's drawing you straight to Him to be whatever He wants you to be.
Amen.
Not whatever you want to be, whatever He wants you to be.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Think about that. You say, well, I want to do that. Yeah. And if that's what He wants you to do, He's going to bless you in that. And if that's not what He wants you to do, He's not going to bless that. He's going to put up something that turns you right over to where He wants you to be.
Yes, sir.
That's what He's going to do.
Amen.
And you're going to recognize it. At some point in time, you might fight it for a while, but at some point in time, you're going to recognize.
Right.
He turned me. He brought me here. He's placed me right here for some purpose.
Yes, sir.
Let me find that purpose that God is working on.
Amen.
See, from that time on, she had a message that she had met the Messiah. Praise be to God. I'm sorry, I missed something up there. But when, let's see, 39. Let's just read it again. See, I don't care. You could have been a drunkard. You could have been a prostitute. You could have been anything that you wanted to be. But when you meet Christ, see, when you met Christ, from there on, it's different. See, God's able of these stones to raise children to Abraham. From that time on, she had a message that she had met the Messiah because she seen the sign of the Messiah. She knew what he was. For she said herself, we know when the Messiah cometh, he will tell us these things. But who are you? Jesus said, I am he. Brother, she got a revelation. She got a revelation and she got excited. And this outcast from society, this outcast that was caught up in this customary traditional stuff, she forgot all about her traditions. She forgot all about the customs. She forgot all about the women be quiet and the men talk. She forgot about all of it. She had a revelation that this was the Messiah and that everybody needed to hear it. Everybody needed to know it. And brother, sister, this is the day and age that once again, we know that the Messiah has come. That we know that God is in our midst because he is the Word. He's the Word. He's the fullness of the Word. And he has revealed himself in the Word. That's it. That's how you recognize him. When you recognize his presence in the revelation of who he is today.
That's right.
Well, brother, it's so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. Now, she dropped the water pot and away she went. If she could stand on the platform tonight, she'd say, I was vile and immoral. But I had read in the Bible where he's to be God, a God prophet. Huh? She had read in the scripture that when the Messiah comes, he's going to be a God prophet. He's going to be a man, a God in flesh.
Amen.
See? And when this man told me, looked like just a man, but when he told me of my life, I knew that that was the sign of the Messiah, see? So a prophet has a portion of the Messiah spirit. So I said, sir, you must be a prophet. I just love this. I thank God for our prophet today.
Amen.
I thank God because the words that he spoke were life.
That's right.
And they made you read your Bible different. Yes. Brother Branham said the Bible has become a new book. Why? Because the interpreter. Because God is the interpreter of the Word. And he come down in a veil of flesh and began to interpret it and to explain it. So much so. And remember, just as the Word was interpreting her thoughts, as the Word was discerning the thoughts of that prostitute, that same Word, that same God is here today still discerning
yes, sir.
Their thoughts back there.
Right.
Our prophet has told us what Moses was thinking.
Amen.
Our prophet is telling us what was happening, what nobody knew, what we didn't see, what we didn't understand. And so it's just like he was there watching it, and he come back and he told us. He said, well, and now he's telling us what this woman was thinking or what she would say if she came right now today.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's the Word.
Right.
The discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Right. Yes, it's God in our midst today.
Yeah.
Now, I'd really like to read all of this. I want you to read it when you go home, but I want to make sure I have time to read this other couple of quotes. So I'm gonna move to when their eyes were opened. This is paragraph 33. So there's a lot there. I had a lot, and it's all good and worthy of reading. And he talks about so many good things. I just want to get a couple of points here, and so. Let me just move on, and you. I hope you'll read it later. Paragraph 33. Now, as they went along, he said to them, why are you so sad? You know the road to Emmaus now, and they're so sad. And I wonder if he'd say the same thing to this little gathering here tonight. Why are you so sad? See, what makes you so weary? See, and they said, why are you just a stranger? See, they're asking him. And what was happening to them? The same thing that was happening to Abraham. The same thing that was happening to the woman at the well. They were entertaining a stranger. They were entertaining an angel unaware, the messenger. They were entertaining him. See, they didn't know him. See, and you don't know who that is sitting right next to you tonight. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? You don't know who's sitting right next to you tonight. That's exactly right, brother, sister. Because God is in his bride today. That's where he's at. That's where he's at. And so just as those, he sent those heavenly messengers, the angel of the Lord, to different ones down through time, just as he sent the human angels, messengers, to the church ages, brother, God's got angels on the earth today.
Yes,
God's got messengers on the earth today.
Amen.
And you turn it any way you want to, but God is in his bride.
That's right.
God is in his bride, and that bride has the revelation.
Right.
And the revelation is life.
Amen.
It's life. And so when that thing is living in you, when it's been revealed to you, then you are God's angel. You are God's messenger. And when God puts you with somebody to speak to them this message, this revelation,
right,
brother, they don't know that they're entertaining messengers from God.
Amen.
They don't know that they're entertaining angels.
Right.
When you have this, the same thing that woman at the well had.
Amen.
She became a messenger. She became a messenger to those people.
Yes, sir.
And they didn't know what was going on. They were shocked. They were shocked, but her message was so great and so powerful that they couldn't say, shut up, you can't talk, you can't know. It was too great, it was too powerful.
Amen.
It was too real,
yes,
to be ignored.
That's right.
And that's what it is. This message is too great. It's too powerful to be ignored.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's right. Brother, we got what the world needs.
Amen.
We've got to shake off the fear. We've got to shake off the customs and the traditions and everything, it must be shook off.
Amen. That's right.
See? They didn't know him. See? The Bible said we have entertained angels unaware. Notice that. We have entertained angels unaware. Notice how the wording is a little different there.
Yes, sir.
Huh? The Bible said we have entertained angels unaware. See? God's sending his spirit to an individual. And that individual is a mouthpiece. When you receive that individual, see, you don't receive him, but you receive him that sent him. Jesus said, when you receive me, you receive not me, but you receive my Father that sent me.
Amen.
You get it.
Huh? Right.
And when they receive you, they're receiving the one that's in you.
Amen.
They're receiving the Father. They're receiving the message from God. This, we read this in Hebrews chapter 13, three times the scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you.
Amen.
And just think now, he's setting us free from those things, from man ruling over us. And brother, I really enjoyed what you've been bringing, really enjoyed it. And I know you got more, and that's why I've been trying to stay off of it. But when you're enjoying something so much, you want to comment, you want to say something. But I wouldn't read some of the quotes that it was along with what I had. But I can't help making a comment when it keeps coming up. And it keeps coming up. It's just, and I've seen this through the years, and many of you know it. When the preacher starts bringing something, then you start seeing it everywhere. Isn't it true? The preacher brings something, and then you start seeing it everywhere. See, I wouldn't have associated customary with Nicolaitanism, but it is.
Right.
Those things are to conquer.
Right.
The society wants to conquer you. The government wants to conquer you. It's that way in everything. And so I said I wasn't going to talk about it. And you just can't get away. But brother, just keep it up because it's good. It's really good, and I've been enjoying it. So let me get back here. Yeah. So in that chapter 13, he talks about that obey them that have the rule over you. He said salute them, to obey them. So it was three things that he said. But anyways, the prophet said, it's not the man that's ruling over you. It's the word.
Amen.
It's the word that they're speaking. It's the life that's in there.
Right.
So it's God. That's the thing that you're obeying. It's not that you're wanting to obey the man, but as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so that just doesn't apply to the preacher. It just doesn't apply to the preacher.
Amen.
It applies to every part of the body. And I think that we can all admit that when we watch one another and we see Christ in one another, we're seeing things that we want to apply to our life. I see something in your life. I want to apply that in my life.
Right.
I say, that's God. That's God. And it don't matter if it's a humble little sister. I don't matter if it's a brother or a priest. Don't matter what it is.
Amen.
If I see Christ, I think I recognize it and I admire it and I want to be it.
Right. Amen.
We laugh at a preacher sometimes, a good gospel preacher, because he disagrees with our theology. We make fun of him sometimes and even call him that scandalous name of holy roller fanatic. You don't know. You might be talking about God when you do that. Huh?
Yes, sir.
When you stop and you think about it, you don't know. Just because you disagree with somebody, you don't know if that's a son of God or a daughter of God.
Right.
So before you start criticizing, you should be careful. We should be careful.
Amen.
We're probably all guilty at some time or another. We should be careful. For the Bible says, so you might be talking to God, for the Bible said, in so much as you have done unto the least of these, little ones, ones that believe in me, you've done it unto me.
Amen.
See? And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not all that say they believe, but these signs shall follow them that believe. That's how you know them, see? See what I mean? Yes, because they're the living word. So, like I said, when I was a young Christian, I just thought it was heavenly beings. Then I recognized it was messengers. Now I see it is the body. It's in the body now.
Yes, sir.
It's not just the messengers to the age. Yes, it was there. It's not just the preachers. Yes, it's there. But it's in the body.
Amen.
It's the whole body. And when God send somebody to seeking something from you, to entertain you, to talk to you, or to ask you for prayer for anything. Huh?
Right.
They don't know. They don't know. But we know.
Yes, sir.
We know. I know when I entertain one of you. I already know.
Right.
I'm entertaining an angel. I'm entertaining a messenger. That's right. Because you're carrying this word. You're carrying this life. It was revealed to Abraham. He, when it started, he might have not known who he was talking to, but he knew who he was talking to. He knew it was God. Huh?
Amen.
And God reveals to you. God reveals to you.
Right.
You know, those in the body, when they're accepting the word, they believe the word, they're living the word, then you know. And when you're entertaining one another, you know that's a part of the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You recognize that. And now you are actually ministering to other people that don't know.
Amen.
They don't know who you are, maybe. Some know there's something special about you. That's the reason they come to you. Because God puts that there. And God can anoint them to come and to ask you. And God chooses who, when, how, why. In the message of Super Sign, paragraph 160. Do you raise your hands now to pledge your faith to God? See, your vows to God, your loyalty and your tributes to God, the church over. We now, O Lord, present ourselves to you after this blessing of manifestation of your presence. Know that God's still manifested in our flesh. Huh? God still manifested in our flesh. He became our dust. He became our stock. He crossed himself from God to become man, that man might live in him. We feel you this morning in our spirits. We see your works and your manifestations. We love you. We pledge ourselves anew to you, to honor you, to love you, to do everything that we know how to do that would be pleasing, to live lives that would be like Christians, that would bring no reproach, that would be a blessing to your great holy name. This we do, Lord, as your children, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 162. Now I want to ask you something before you take your seat. Did you ever feel such a sweet thing? The sweetness of the Holy Spirit. Nobody to say, we're just automatically rising, coming forth. The glory of God, see, was moving in this service that he's in now. I've been praying and studying 2 days on this one. More than that, since last Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, last Sunday. How that super sign. How God said, I'll give them a sign. I'll be in their flesh. Huh? Mm-hmm. This is the promise. This is the thing that's been building since getting back to where Adam and Eve was. This has been the thing. He has been building this thing. He has been building for this bride. This, Brother Branham said, this was his eternal purpose. This is what he had in his mind, what he wanted. And he chose this bride himself.
Amen.
And he said, it's just the same as men choose their bride today. He said, it's not the woman. He said, it's not the woman, the man. And he said, God. And see, that takes away your free will, your free moral agency. That takes away you doing this. It's God doing it. And the thing that makes you want it is when he comes to you and he reveals himself to you, you don't want anything else because there's a seed in you that seed is him.
Amen.
And it's just like a baby duck doesn't gravitate to a chicken. It gravitates to ducks.
Amen.
Because that's the nature. And that's the same thing it is. Brother Branham said that's how it is with believers. They gravitate to one another. And sometimes, Brother Branham said, sometimes it's so powerful that you can walk in a room and you can feel that presence.
Amen.
On somebody. Now, God has to do that, but it's there and it's real. Now, sometimes you'll talk to people and you feel the presence of God. And sometimes you talk to people and you feel the presence of Satan.
Yes, sir.
It's just as real as anything. That you that evil spirit can't hide no more than God hides himself. It's there.
Amen.
God said, I'll give them a sign. I'll be in their flesh. I'll be like them. They'll be like me. He said the angels looked over. He said the angels said to the shepherds, or look into the manger. You'll see what I mean. That sign wasn't just for angels. It wasn't just for shepherds. It's for the world to see and believe that God dwells in flesh.
Amen.
That's a revelation today. That's a revelation today. That revelation that was in Christ, that they were seeing that here was God in a man. Brother Branham said, this new creation, that he was the beginning of it. That Christ was the beginning of the new creation. And he said that new creation was God in man. That's it. That's the simplicity.
Amen.
You can put it on the board and you can make it complicated and you can make it sound like a lot of things. But it's one simple thing.
Right.
It's God in human flesh.
Amen.
And as he was in Christ, now he's in the bride.
Yes, sir.
That's where he's at. You can't go get this anywhere else. No. No, you can only get it from him. It only comes by Him, through Him.
Yes,
that's it. That's the only way. And it's a revelation.
Amen.
It's simply Him revealing to you who you are.
Amen.
You are the same person looking at the same person in the mirror that you was before you recognized you were a son and a daughter of God. You're seeing the same thing. But now, spiritually, you see something different.
Yes, sir.
You're not seeing that person you used to see.
Amen.
You see the same flesh, but you don't see that person anymore.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And through the offering of that flesh, He sanctified our flesh, that He might dwell in us. God in you, Christ in you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Don't forget this. Keep it in your hearts. That's right. Praise be to God. Now, he makes a comment here. This is actually 2 days after Christmas. He said, I received some mighty fine Christmas presents, a movie camera, and many other things, guns and things that people love me. They give me how I appreciate that. But oh, this eternal life, the blessed assurance that Christ lives in us, that His fullness dwells in us, makes us rise and act different.
Yes, sir.
Because you, when you do that, you became a fugitive to the things of the world. You become a pilgrim. You recognize yourself dead to the things of the world and alive in a new life. And now you're an alien in the world. Huh? You're an alien because you professed plainly by your actions, huh? Not just by your words, but by your actions, you are professing that you and the world have nothing to do with one another.
Amen.
No, it's you in Christ now, and you've been changed. You're an alien to the world. That's right. Now you're an alien in the world. You're an alien because you profess plainly by your action that there is a city whose builder and maker is God. And you no longer care for these things of the world. But you're a heaven-bound people looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are Abraham's seed because we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have died to the things of the world and have been raised again in the resurrection of His likeness. To walk as Abraham did, seeking a city to come. Brother, sister, it's so easy to read about Abraham. It's so easy to see how God was leading him. But a lot of times we fail to think that this great visitation Abraham had, then it was 25 years. It was 25 years. I don't know how much God visited him. I don't know. We go by what we read. We know that our prophet had tens of thousands of visitations.
Yes.
But we know there was prophets who had four miracles. And then another one that took his mantle had eight.
Right.
So some of them, their life was not like this. Everything, every day was, I'm right here. Come on, keep going, keep going. Yeah, I'm going to show you something. Keep going, keep going. No.
Right.
They heard the Word of God. They believed the Word of God. And it kept them.
Right.
And it'll keep you today.
Amen.
It'll keep you today. It's not about whether God comes down every day and pats you on the back and does something. Huh? Or you see a miracle. Or you see a supernatural every week. No, it's not it. You get a revelation. God reveals Himself to you. And that's all you need.
Amen.
Now you're looking for that city. You're just walking day by day like Abraham did. You're going and you're avoiding the conflict. You give Lot the best of the land. You didn't want no trouble with him. Just let him have it and you go on. You're depending on God. No matter what happens, what trouble comes, what goes, you're walking with God.
Amen.
See? Taking God's word, calling everything else contrary, to entertain angels in our home, like Abraham did. How am I going to entertain angels? Huh? How am I going to do that? God just going to send some supernatural angel down to me? No. No, he's let me recognize where he's at today. He's let me recognize that he is in his people. And that when I entertain them, I'm entertaining God's messengers today. God's angels on the earth today. The messengers of God that brought the message, oh, what a time. Professing that we don't want no more of the world. We want Him and Him alone. He is our Savior. As you journey from this building this morning, take Him with you. Never let it leave. Be sweet in your soul all the days of your life. God bless you now as you go. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you as we thank God for this day, this hour, this opportunity, for this revelation of the last days. Amen. Brother, this is the day that the veil has been taken off of God. Amen. We seen God in the seventh angel messenger. Mm-hmm. We seen God when the seventh angel's messenger was finished. Amen. And now we see God after the seventh angel body has left the earth. We still see God because we know where He is. We know where He is.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us stand. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Goomba to come and pray for us. And we're happy to have them back. We're happy we got to go up and see them there while they were camping. God bless them with us. A beautiful place. Amen.
God bless you. Praise God.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Don, for that. And that was very good. because you have seen it, I can see it now. That he was wondering where was I going with this? Because you see it, I can see it. Because I knew that, Brother Don. I knew your thoughts. I knew you didn't see it that time, but you didn't know where I'm going. And it hit me a bit, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna stop this. I don't go with this. But I just wanted to go to another thing, and the Lord would not let me do that. I struggled with the Lord, and the Lord would not get me out of that. So I really wanted to get away with that. But I like it because of the freedom and like that. And sometimes you got to go by the leading.
That's right.
And there's nothing you can do. One of the days I had my sermon, and I wanted to come this way on the same.
Yeah.
But the Lord wanted me to read the scripture. And in there, something came, and it was before me, just right there.
Praise
and
God.
I had to bring that. And I'm sorry. It's like that. We got to go by the leading. We are free, and we got to be free on the hearts of the Lord, wherever the Lord wants to lead us. And that was very good about, very many things that is a host. I can get about three sermons now from that. It's so nice. It's just so good from that time. Brother Don, that woman, and another thing is, women are not supposed to preach. Women are not supposed to preach. But they are also angels. Because the angel is not the person that I'm seeing. The angel that he's talking about is the angel that is in you, the Lord Jesus Christ. You might entertain the Lord Jesus Christ thinking that you're just entertaining Brother Goomba, who is just a bad guy, or you might entertain... That's what it means. It's not... So, sisters have Jesus Christ. Brothers have Jesus Christ. When you entertain them, you're entertaining. When those people entertained a harlot, that woman at the well, she had met Jesus, and that was not the harlot that had gone to the well that time.
Amen. That's right.
And that thing is very good, that that could not have been the woman, because the woman was a harlot, and she could not even be listened to. Yes, she was not the harlot. After meeting Jesus, here was a different somebody. Here was an angel. An angel that nobody could resist. They could have resisted a harlot, but they could not resist this age. Now. This is Christ. Amen. They didn't even know why are we entertaining a harlot. They didn't even know.
Yeah.
They didn't know why are we entertaining this harlot. But actually, that was now the age you're speaking.
Well, that's right.
That nobody could resist that anointing.
Amen.
And everything got together very well. Haven't we read in the scriptures that when the Messiah comes, he'll do those things? Come and see. I saw it. Come and see. No. And everybody went there to see. I mean, they could not resist it. I mean, it's so good. It's so nice. We, sisters and brothers, we are ages. Christ has come. He's tabernacled in us. When you entertain a brother, when you entertain a sister, you're entertaining Christ himself.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't know what words to use to say thank you, Father, of the things, Lord God, that you've picked and chosen, Father, to bring to us, Father. So great a Lord that no man can give. And that makes us know assuredly that it's you speaking to us, Lord. We are thankful, Father. And that being the case, then how much can we give to you, Father?
Yeah.
What a gift can we give to you? There were those wise men from the east, Lord, who came to visit you. And they thought, this is what we can give. The way they understood you, who you are. And our Lord, we've come to a place and we look at you and we realize who you are. You've made us, Father, in this age to recognize ourselves and to recognize you, to recognize who you are, Lord. What a God. And how, Lord, would we reward you? What gifts can then we give you unto you? We are here, Father. You say that we are spirit, that we are soul, and we are also the body. Now, you are worth all that, Lord. Take our bodies to yourselves, Lord. Take our spirits to yourself. Take our soul to yourself. Take everything that we are, Lord God, to serve thee, because you are the only one that is worthy. Thank you, Father. Bless the people, God, Lord God, physically and spiritually. Bring us, like that song, bring us into higher levels. Into higher levels of understanding. God is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
God bless you.